This is a recording of the Imago Relationships International Think Tank for August 1st, 2007. It is part 3 of the 6 parts of Al Turtle's summer camp on Imago. The topic is teaching mirroring, and I am Al Turtle. You may see my writings at my website at www.turtlecounseling.com or email me at turtlecounseling.com.
Hi, everybody. Just when you join in, just for a few minutes, let's go ahead and share where you are and maybe take a look out the window and say, is it sunny or cold? What the heck?
It's Nyack, New York, and it is bakingly hot. And sunny.
Oakville, Ontario, it's hot and sunny.
Hot and sunny.
Mm-hmm. It's about 85.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm Al Turtle, and it's out here. It's in Idaho. It is sunny, and it will be pretty warm today. I think maybe 85, but it's been, we've had a week or two of 100 degree weather up here, so.
Keep it.
I got some friends down in Texas, and they're saying, we'd like some sun, sick and tired of this rain.
Yeah, the environment is crazy.
It is, isn't it?
And getting worse. Now, where are you in Idaho?
Northern Idaho, about 50, 70 miles from the border into Canada.
Ah. And Pocatello is close or
south?
Not?
South. Mm-hmm. South by 300 miles.
Oh,
or so.
Goodness.
Quite a distance, actually.
Yeah.
Because the roads going east-west here are really good. The roads going north-south are really poor.
Is the western part of the state the prettiest?
Well, I think of Idaho as a north-south state, and I think of the north as the prettiest.
Al?
Yes, sir.
Could you get started and give an introduction and to say what today's date is and so forth, and can we get underway? I've got 2 minutes after the hour.
Okay, then I will kind of, glad to have everybody join me. This is the third in a series of presentations that I'm just taking over for this summer. I just called it summer school or summer camp. And today I'm... And everything we're doing all summer long is being recorded so that people who can't attend can listen in later. There's a link that's attached to this, so you can go to that and listen to it later. At the end of the summer, we may make all the recordings available to people on CD or something like that. It would be really nice to do that. And you can listen in on your computer. Same link. I'm going to get away from that phone.
Hi, Ed.
Yes.
This is Kevin George calling.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to let you know that I was on and recording.
Oh, Kevin, thank you so much. You're so kind to help us with that. That's fantastic. So
absolutely, my pleasure.
I'll remind people that they can listen to this again on... or they can listen to it for the first time if they miss it by calling 405-244-4000, box 220.
220, that's correct.
And Kevin, will you be able to have your line muted or on the handset disconnected so that there's no background noise?
Absolutely. I'm going to do that right now. I just wanted to let you know I was here and recording.
Good. And do you call in on the caller PIN number of 2150?
Yeah, 2150, that's correct.
Fabulous. Kevin, thanks so much.
Sure thing,
I
sure
really
thing.
I appreciate it.
I'll be listening.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start this one, giving people a little... Today I'm going to spend most of my time probably talking about mirroring. Ed, let's go ahead and mute everybody. You want to do that, or shall I do it?
Al, you do that.
Okay. I just have to, it's star five, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. That gives us a nice, clear signal. I hope I am loud enough for everybody. Last week I was a little quiet because I was in Providence on a hand phone, and this time I've got a headset, and it's right in my mouth. And by the way, when we make that recording, we can bring the volume level up for everybody to hear. I'm going to then present for a little bit, and then I'll open up the phone for questions, just like we did last time. I love the questions. And I'm focusing on mirroring because I find that I was listening to someone teaching mirroring last week, and I was going and saying, my God, I do it differently than that. So I thought I'd just share how I do it. And I've given my notes, I sent out to everybody my notes, so I'm going to just follow my notes a little bit so that we have some structure. First, let me just mention my history. I started in 1992, taught by Harville, how to mirror. And I learned MVE, mirroring, validating, and empathy, just as I think it's taught in Imago, just the normal way. And I remember having a great deal of trouble with the validation step. I just was uncomfortable about it, but I went along with it. Because it was part of the training, and I was so stunned by everything wonderful in Imago that I just stayed with that, even though I still had that sense that something was off. Now, the beautiful thing that I had, a luxury, was that my wife and Sandra and I both went through the training together. And therefore, we were able to not only try teaching mirroring, but we were able to have extensive discussions on the effect of mirroring and what it was like. What were our experiences? I have some wonderful stories of the steps we went through, looking at both what it's like to mirror and what it's like to be mirrored. And that really informed what we were doing. One of the things it led us to do was to understand why validation as taught in Imago just doesn't seem to work very well. So that led to all the work we did on pre-validation and validation. Now we're very comfortable with it. It also led us to revalue mirroring, probably in ways that, I'm going to share them all today, but in ways that are not common, seemingly common to Imago therapist training. So it's almost as though I sometimes value mirroring much more than I experience other Imago therapists valuing it. That's just my experience. I put it at a very high level. I put the skill of mirroring at a very high level. Yesterday, a woman came to me. She's seen me quite a few times. She's also had the experience of seeing some of the couples that I've trained in mirroring and seeing them trying to mirror her. And she reflected yesterday on how I mirror in such a way that you don't even know I'm mirroring, but you feel the effect of it all the time. She was kind of like watching my sentences and noticing how I do it differently from the people that I train. Well, they're still using a training tool. But anyway, it was interesting to have that additional point of view. One of the results of that is that Sandra and I discarded MVE. We just set it aside. Not because we don't want other people to train it or use it or teach it, but because for us we felt we could achieve the same goal more rapidly, certainly with ourselves, and we also feel we can achieve it much more quickly with our family and with clients who come in the office. If I were to be teaching a workshop, I probably would not teach MVE. Just let you know that, and that could be a challenge for people's thinking, but let me just share more about why. Actually, I wrote an article some years ago called To Imago Therapists. And you can check that out on my website and see my thinking in that. So let me just kind of put my thought of the framework of what mirroring is. When I approach a couple, mirroring in a way is the first skill that I teach that is an interpersonal skill. Now, what I mean by that is it's a skill where one person does the action, and the success of that action is based on the feeling of the other person. It takes two active people for it to happen. I learned that there are personal skills and then there are interpersonal skills. I put an example as that my mother gave me a wonderful example of a personal skill. She did toilet training based on what she thought were the rules. Even if her children objected, she still pushed people into the rules. Instead of doing toilet training according to the need of the child, she really wasn't aware of the need of the child. She actually did toilet training according to Dr. Spock, which, of course, her children had not read. Well, Sandra and I faced the same thing with mirroring, because we saw the experience that I would say to her, well, I mirrored you correctly. And she would say, but I didn't feel heard. And we would look at how I was judging my performance based on some standard, and she was judging the effect of my behavior on another standard. And we saw that as not adequate. And so as we approach teaching couples, I began using the term, mirroring is whatever I do that makes you feel heard. And if you feel heard, I did it. And if you don't feel heard, I have done nothing. I've wasted my effort. That's why we define an interpersonal skill. We took that to the area of validation as well, to say that validation is anything I do that makes you feel understood. We've kind of pretty clear that humans have these two feelings. One is a feeling of feeling heard, and one is a feeling of feeling understood. And those feelings can be identified all by themselves, just like the feeling of anger and joy and grief and fear. But we think of those as being kind of feelings. And so my success is involved with how does the other person experience me? And if they don't experience me as listening, then I can be doing all sorts of listening, but it isn't happening. And this involved a wonderful letting go of self-judgment and an appropriate place of interpersonal success. And I'd want to just stress that my being comfortable with the idea that if my partner doesn't feel understood, then I stop and work at it harder. Rather than turning away from her and saying, well, I understand you. It was terribly important to that bridging and crossing that interpersonal bridge. Now, Sandra and I also worked very hard on the question of how accurately should you mirror. And I think all of us struggle with that one. And what we came to a solution was you need to mirror your partner as accurately as they want to be mirrored. In other words, if you mismirror them, they will not feel heard. And so the measurement of accuracy is in the other person. And that interpersonal awareness is one of the fundamental concepts that I find in making the transition for people to move across the bridge to each other and to move into dialogical space. Okay, so how do I go about teaching mirroring? My first thought is I teach it by modeling it. And therefore, I have to give people the experience, repeated, reliable experience of feeling heard. And I believe that as we be, as when I first started being an Imago therapist, actually, I love what Bruce Woods did to me. He told me in the training that I wouldn't be an Imago therapist for many years, but I would be working on it. And his goal was to start me in that direction. I think an experienced Imago therapist is somebody that you can easily detect the way they talk, by the way they interact, by the way they speak. It's easy to detect them. For example, you will feel heard by them, and you may not notice what they're doing, because they've already learned through mirroring how to make that happen. One thing you'll know about them is that I believe a skilled Imago therapist is willing to drop everything and mirror. And if somebody says, you didn't hear me, they will immediately stop and mirror. In fact, one of the things I've kind of learned is that, I think of an Imago therapist, a skilled one, and we're all learning, is somebody who is extremely willing to mirror and shows it. They will, if you say to them, please mirror me, they'll say, of course, no problem. Or if you say, I've got something hard to say to you, they'll say, fine, no problem, I'll just mirror you. In other words, they are pleased with their ability and the acting of mirroring. You will detect them by their clarity about who's talking. They will just automatically, I'm listening to you. Right now, you guys are all listening to me. But, the minute I take the phone off the hook, I switch to the other gear where I start listening to you. You will really hear them interrupting, but they will only be interrupting smoothly. In fact, it's often very subtle. They will interrupt smoothly for the purpose of hearing fully or for the purpose of understanding, but they're not interrupting to share their point while the other person's talking. All of these things you learn. Oh, here's another one. You will experience that an experienced Imago therapist wants people to make their point and to get their point across. I think it's really important that people do not talk in sentences. They talk in points, that our minds start when we open our mouth and say, I'd like to talk to you, that somewhere in our mind we have a point put together that we want to get across. And my sense is that when you're modeling the behavior, you really help people get their point out, get it out and clear and completed. They will follow the cat principle. And I've put a link on my notes to where the paper is about the cat principle. But it's basically the idea that if someone is trying to get their point out and there's an interruption, a skilled Imago therapist would pick up and put them back where they were talking before the interruption. It sounds something like, we got interrupted there, but the last thing you were saying before the interruption was this. Would you go on from there? In other words, you're inviting them to complete their thought and have a sense of completion. One of the things it's hard for me to do right now is that I think that when you're doing this well, you're really conscious of what is the state of the listener. Now, right now, I don't know. I have to imagine where you all are right now. But I think that one of the things about it is that you just take it, you're watching the listener to make sure that the listener is still there. It's one of the things I've learned very well is that my wife sometimes just drops out of listening in the middle of my sentences. I'm a heavy talker. And I've learned that when she drops out of listening, I stop sending. Because there's literally no sense in talking to someone who's not listening. And I don't have a problem with it. It's a lot easier if she says, I don't want to talk right now or something like that. But still, I'm conscious of the listener and I watch them. Let's see. That when in doubt, for most people, and this is what I know in our culture, most people want to listen, want to talk. They want to be heard. And so they just start chattering as though people want to listen. And I believe that once you've done plenty of mirroring, your normal interpersonal position is listening, not sending, not talking, but listening. You actually spend more time listening and more time making it easy for people to listen to you if you are talking. But you don't sit there and say, I demand you listen to me. You actually get there by listening to them first until they then want to listen to you. It's kind of an interesting shift that I see in people. And the point I want to make about this is that when I teach mirroring, I do it by modeling. That means that I have to do it. I have to mirror them on the phone. I have to mirror them in the office. I have to mirror them if I meet them on the street. And so I have to do it. They have to get that sense that I'm paying attention to them, and I'm also making an effort of making it easy for them to pay attention to me. So now what I'd like to do is kind of with that stuff set to the side, I want to kind of talk about how I go about teaching it in the office. And some of these things you'll see as I'm doing it, you'll see that I'm throwing in some additional teaching points. I actually teach mirroring in the first session, first by modeling it, and then second, about two-thirds of the way through the first session, I ask the couple to mirror each other. I have them a very simple sending exercise, and they do it twice, where one person sends the message, I think it frustrates you when I. And the receiver gets to mirror that. And I tell the receiver, do not think. Turn that part of your brain off. Just listen and act like a court reporter and send back what you're hearing. What I hear you say is, and if you get, you're going to have to turn the pronouns around, the yous and the I's. So you may have to keep track of them. In other words, when your partner says, I think it frustrates you, you're going to have to send that back as you think it frustrates me. And it's useful sometimes to use your finger to keep track of who's you and who's I. Just point at. So you think that I am frustrated when you. Now I let them do that, and I actually watch how quickly they pick that up. And I tell them I'm going to help them both so that they have success at doing it. Then I say, okay, that's good. So now let's do something different from a frustration. I'd like you now to, and what I'm really looking for here is I'm going to teach them how to invite their partner to go on and send a longer message. So I say, this is a history class. I would like you to tell your partner four things about them that you really loved when you first met them, when you were in love with them. Four characteristics they had. And that's quite a bit to mirror. So I've introduced the word by now. And I just say, so what I want you to do is send them one thing that you loved. And they'll mirror it, and then they'll say, go on. And then you send another, and we'll just that way we'll get them all across. Now, this is a wonderful little exercise that I've used for years, because it makes them reflect on at the end of the session on what they liked about each other. And they both get to do it. But it's an easy thing to mirror, though sometimes someone will say, I really love your face, and the other person will say, well, and they'll want to not mirror it directly. And you just want to say, get those words out. So I help them do it because I want them to feel, I also want to get a sense of how quickly they can learn, how easy it is for them. Because frequently, if they learn quickly, you know you've got a lot of IQ in the room, and that's not necessarily useful. But anyway, this is one way I find it out. So So now at the end of the first session, I've got the idea they can mirror. So they can mirror, or it can be difficult because I've seen them do it. So when I go into the second session, I immediately start with mirroring. So this is teaching by getting them to do it and guiding them in it. And I guide, my principle is to teach them to do it and guide less and less and less until they don't need any guiding. So when they walk in, the second session, I just say, here we go, we're going to go to work now. And you may be surprised, but let's go for it. And then I say, Jane, it's your session. Now, there's a process about how I decide whose session it is. Usually in the first session, I've already decided who I'm going to talk to based on who makes the phone call. So in the next session, I talk to the other person. And I just say, okay, Jane, tell your partner something they did last week that you appreciate. So here we are into appreciations. And I say, your partner will mirror. And I let them do whatever they do. And they try, and then they stop, and they look at me for direction. And if they mirror well, I don't say anything about it. And if they have trouble, I'll assist them. And then I'll say to them, I turn to the person who's listening, and I say, this is how I do it. I say, have you ever been interrupted? And they'll say, yes. And I say, do you like to be interrupted? And they'll say, no. And I'll say, I don't like it either. I can assume your partner doesn't like it. And then I say, but we are in a funny position, you and I. We're both listening to your partner. We know your partner has stopped, but we don't know if your partner is finished. And if we start talking, we're likely to interrupt your partner. And we don't know it. There's no way we have the information to know that we're not interrupting. So then I say, shall we fix this problem forever and ever? And they say, yeah. And I say, okay, say to your partner this phrase, please say more about that. And I actually, at that point, write that phrase on the board. And I ask them to say it exactly in the first session. And when they're saying that phrase, please say more about that smoothly, then I cut it back to the phrase, go on, or something like that. But I want them to experience invited and, in fact, slightly being pushed to go ahead and say more. You should see the effect on them when they get that phrase. It's fun. So then they say, please say more about that, and we let it go. And while I'm doing that, I will then stop them sometimes when the person mirrors and the sender nods their head. I want to draw that. I want to make that point out that you are mirroring correctly when your partner nods or shows that you got it exact. And if they've got a puzzled look on their face, then you're not mirroring close enough. There's your interpersonal connection going on right there. That you want to, I tell them, you want to mirror so that you get that head nod. And then once the first person's finished, I write on the board the words send, mirror, check, pull. And I write them in such a form that the phrase, please say more about that, is right next to the word pull. I'm very explicit about teaching those four steps. And I tell them that those four steps have to happen in all communication, whether they're out loud or whether it's done subtly, they still have got to happen for successful communication to go on. Then I reverse the direction and have the other person share something that they appreciate of that their partner did in the last week. And when they're finished, now they've both done it, and I pointed out that there's nothing gender specific here at all. I then say, the goal, and I get up and I go up to the board and I say, now look, the goal of communicating is to make people feel relaxed. You want to go about relaxing your partner, no matter whether you're the sender or the receiver, because communicating is scary for people. Public speaking is the biggest fear in the United States. So I'm going to focus on predictive information and a sense of control. These two things, these two phrases are in a sign in my office, and I focus on them in the very first part of the first session, that people relax when they have predictive information, and they relax when they have a sense of control. And so let's show how mirroring creates predictive information. And what I've got here in my notes, I basically review that the sender knows they have predictive information of what's going to happen next. They know what's going to get done. They know they're going to get heard. They know they will have help. They know they can be correct. They can correct their own statement. They can say, well, this is what I said before, and you mirrored it correctly, but that's not what I wanted to say, so they'll be able to correct it. And they know they'll get to finish their point because their partner's going to keep saying, please say more about that. And to some extent, they know that no one's going to jump at them while they're in the middle of their sentence because their partner's going to be just relaxedly mirroring. Then I say, and the receiver knows, they have predictive information, that they don't have to do anything when someone starts talking except listen. They do not have to jump up and do something. They don't have to run. They can focus on the words. They don't even have to understand them. Mirroring, I tell them, was originally come up with the word, mirroring has to do with little children. We mirror babies by going goo-goo back to them. You don't have to understand someone to make them feel heard. And the receiver also knows how to avoid interrupting, how to get rid of interruption. So there's nice predictive information in mirroring. Everyone can relax because it's predictable. Then I say, well, let's take a look at the issue of having a sense of control. And then I write this on the board. I actually do it. Right next to mirroring, I say, the sender is control. And then I write the word, they're in control of the subject. They're in control of the logic. Sender gets to use their own logic. They're in the control of the meaning of every word that they use. And then I'll say, I don't know that you know it, but words don't have meanings. People have meanings, and people use words in an attempt to communicate their meaning. That a dictionary is really a history book of how words have been used over the years. But you'll find now that instead of ever getting into one of those discussions where you're talking about what's the meaning of that word, you will change that into what do you mean by that word? And that will simplify communication a great deal. And I'll go back, okay, so sender's in control of the subject, the logic, the meaning. They're also in charge of the point they're trying to make. And points sometimes have 10, 12, 14 sentences in them. But they're in charge of the point. They're in charge of the order of every sentence. Now, I'll say that I was trained by my mother to put the most important sentence at the end of my point, so that people would say to me, she was a great one for saying, and in the final analysis. And then she'd say the most important thing that would draw everything together. And when I went into business, I was taught to put the point in the first sentence of a memo, particularly because most people won't read past the first sentence. So I was taught to do it that way. The result of that, those two teachings, is that when I speak, my point, my critical sentence, typically wanders somewhere in the middle of what I'm sending. And I typically don't know which it is until I've finished. My wife once asked me, why don't you just send me the important sentence and skip all the rest? And I said, I'd love to do that. The problem is, until I get to the end, I'm not sure what the critical sentence was. It was one of our little fun events. So the sender is in charge of the subject, logic, meaning, point, the order of sentences, and the amount. How many sentences they're going to send. You're going to get comfortable with the idea that you're going to share as much as you want to share and never any more. Now, the receiver is in control, is in charge of one thing and a critical one thing. They're in charge of the speed of communication. Only they know, only they know if this person is sending too fast. My experience is that I can talk 10,000 words a minute, that my partner can listen 50 words a day. That's meant to be a joke. But the bottom line is that communication can proceed at the maximum speed of the slower person. And therefore, when I talk with my wife, I hand her the accelerator on my mouth, because that way I get to share at the maximum speed. If she controls my speed, then I won't either A, talk too slowly and bore us both, or B, talk too fast, in which case she doesn't track what I'm saying, or she drops it in the bit bucket, throws it away. So then I stop, once I've given this to them, and said, these are the points. Now, this is what the receiver's in charge of, this is what the sender's, and then I just say, okay, and the check step makes it work. That's the head nod, by the way, the check step. And the step of pulling is the one that makes them get to the end of their point. And then I stop and I ask for questions. Typically at this point, they're absorbing. Then I go to the next step, and I'm going to give you these next couple of steps. Then I'm going to stop and talk before I do the next practice. I give them that the goal of mirroring, I believe, is not to mirror. I do not want you to mirror forever. The goal of mirroring, I believe, is to make them feel heard. Mirroring, I think of, is a teaching tool. It's one of those teaching tools that guides you in learning the 52 skills of making them feel heard. Now, by the way, people have often asked me where I got the number 52, and I remember years ago thinking there were probably 30, but I could sense more. At this point, I think there are probably several hundred, but 52 seems like a good number because it has something to do. It's big and has something to do with the number of weeks in a year. But you learn those 52 skills. And I then say, I want you to get good at the skills. I don't want you to mirror, but I want you to get good at the skills. And mirroring is the fastest way I know to teach you to get good at those skills. It's one of those tools, those teaching tools, like a miter box, that if you love it, you don't need it. And if you hate it, you need it. So if you hate mirroring, you need to do it. If you like doing it, you're probably going automatically and have learned how to all those 52 skills. So I want you to practice it and come in next week and tell me where you hate it, because I'll be glad to share with you with what skill, what piece it is teaching you at that place where you hate it. Then I pause for some more questions, give them some more time. And then I give them what I call the four points of why to mirror. And I give them in this order. The first point, that people want to feel heard. When in doubt, they want to feel heard. And if you know how to make them feel heard without any effort, you can make points with people. You make people relax. You can make people like you, because around you they feel heard. And if you want them to do things for you, you know, to me, in my mind is, every time you make them feel heard, you get $25 in their account, the account that they hold for you. And if you want them to cook dinner for you, that may cost you $600. So all you have to do is mirror them 24 times. And fortunately, because mirroring, you have to break up into little pieces, you get to mirror a lot. So you can actually earn a lot by mirroring. That's reason number one to mirror. Reason number two, people repeat themselves. Have you noticed that? People repeat themselves because they think they weren't heard. If you know how to make them feel heard, you can stop everyone from repeating themselves. They don't have to say it again. But that's just a way of getting rid of that old people saying it over and over again. The third reason is that people raise their voices. They get loud most of the time because they believe they won't be heard. So if you know how to mirror real easily, you can do something about keeping people from raising their voices. Is that useful? I mean, they teach something like mirroring in complaint departments, I say, all over the country. Because when people come into a complaint department, they're annoyed, and the clerk doesn't want these people to start yelling. So what you do is you make them feel heard. Make the complainer, the person with the complaint coming to the department, make them feel heard, and they talk more peacefully. Useful. You can probably use that to keep your partner from raising their voice. And the last thing, and this might be useful, is you cannot possibly argue with somebody who's mirroring. I picked this up, by the way, from something Harville said years ago. You can't argue with someone who's mirroring. What that really means is that you can stop unilaterally any argument for the rest of your life with anyone. And if you've practiced mirroring a lot, you can do it easily. You just mirror them, and they have nothing to argue with. Is that valuable, I say? So those are some reasons to do it. And then the last thing I do is I then ask them if they've got any questions about that, and then I give them the five problems. Now, what I want to do is take this off mute, and I want to just see where everybody is at this point, because I'm imagining, my imagination is better than probably the reality in this case. But anyway, who knows? So now everyone's off mute. Where is everybody right now?
Hi, Al. This is Julie in North Carolina, this time not Hong Kong.
Yes.
I really like how you present your notes and you follow your notes and you just went off of them and I can't adjust this to include what you just said. Is there any way that you can adjust this and post them back up?
They're on my website.
Yeah. The notes that were attached to this phone call.
Yes.
Why mirror? The 4 points you just made. I don't see them listed. Maybe they are, but I don't see them listed.
So what I've done is since that first time, I've updated my notes a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And they're on my website. On the very front page, it says notes for teaching mirroring.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And it's a much better version of them. It's much cleaner.
Excellent.
And I will keep that up there, and it's attached. Should be attached to the teleseminar thing. But I'll be glad to send it out again. Those 4 points are valuable.
Yeah, very valuable.
Anybody else there? Anyone else got any questions? Because I'd like to straighten out any curiosities here.
Al, this is Kate. Well, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
This is Kate from North Carolina as well. Hello. Hi. Yeah.
Hi, Kate.
The point you made that when a couple comes back after doing mirroring, trying it at home, the question you ask or part of what you observe is that if you hate mirroring, you need to do it. How do you then go in and help them understand what part of it they hate, or how do you teach from that point?
Hmm. Yeah. So the question really is when they come back in the third session and they say, we hated doing this. How do I help them understand what it is they're learning at that point?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I think that over the years, I've come to get a feeling of what mirroring's constantly teaching. And so when they come in and they give me, I really hate it. I really hate saying, please say more about that. You know, and I can say, well, yeah. Yeah, because the first thing I do is I validate what they're wanting to do. That they want it, you want it to be your turn, of course. You know, and it may be one of the things you're learning is how to calm your own mind while you're listening to your partner until they're finished. So the skill it's teaching you, see what I'm doing? I'm kind of listening to what they're saying and then helping them see why that's working.
That's okay.
One of the things I often, sometimes people ask me is, have you got a list of the 52 skills? I think it would go on forever, but I do have, and I do attach to this paper on my website, a link to a place where I list a bunch of them. But for example, mirroring teaches patience. And frequently that's one of the problems. So actually just go ahead and validate whatever it is that they're having trouble with, and then see if I can't pull in from my own experience what mirroring is trying to teach them to do differently.
Thank you.
The first thing I'd do is I'd be teaching them validation at that point by modeling it. Oh, you're having trouble with that. Okay, so let's see what you're trying to do. And is that helping them feel heard, or is it, so I look at that individually.
That's good.
If you've got an example of where you hate mirroring, I could do it with you right now.
Just one? No.
Now I understand why that.
Now, this is Beverly from Redondo Beach, California.
Hello, Beverly from Redondo Beach, north of Palo Verde.
I'm in Palos Verdes right now making the call.
Okay.
Anyway, that's where I live. But my question is, I'm not understanding how the other person can pull or interrupt. Can you go over that one more time?
Sure.
How the other person can take control and have some control over the person talking to them and how they're hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important.
The issue is, I think what the issue is pulling.
Right.
And I wrote a whole article called The Gentle Art of Pulling.
Okay.
Which is on there. Sandra and I found, for example, I was so wounded by our interactions when we first got together because I'm such a talkative person and mirroring shut me down so much.
Uh-huh.
That I needed to feel invited to say more. And I found that when you're talking to somebody, there's a phrase that I didn't write on here called listening sounds.
Uh-huh.
It didn't come from Imago. It's the sound of saying, uh-huh, you just did it just a moment ago. Uh-huh.
Right.
You're letting me know you're there and encouraging me to continue. Pulling is the art of encouraging your partner to continue. The most simple form of pulling is what I call straight pulling, which is the art of just sending a signal to them of go on. We teach that, and we don't teach it specifically in Imago, I believe. I teach it explicitly. I teach it absolutely clearly that the skill to say, please go on and say more, is different from the skill of saying, well, no, I don't agree with that.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're learning to say and make sounds for the purpose of getting them to continue talking and for feeling, making them feel invited. So you're not taking control, but you are making these listening sounds. The most explicit form is, please say more about that. I tell that phrase because I say I want, the first word is please, which is polite. The second phrase is say more, which is directive. And the last part is about that, which is a reminder, don't change subjects on me. So that we only get one point across at a time. And
right.
I said, remember, this is a teaching tool. It's not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a teaching tool to get you used to the idea of getting to the end of your partner's point. And if they haven't finished their point, you don't start sending yours.
Okay.
And you, instead of saying, do you have anything more to say, in which case they have to say yes or no, and then you have to say, well, go ahead and send it, that you actually say, please say more. And they can, and that you want them to learn how to say, no, I have no more to say about that now.
Right,
so
and this keeps down the anger because, you know, many of us have people who come in with such anger.
Sure.
That this will hold it down in just one subject at a time. And if you are communicating, you're, and someone is listening, you can't get angry. And that's
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important to say that anger has a lot to do with being frightened.
Right.
And the biggest fear and biggest source behind anger is the belief you're not going to be listened to.
Right.
And so when you start mirroring somebody who's angry, and you mirror effectively, you say, well, wait, hang on, go slower, because I want to get every one of your points. Even the angry person will tend to slow down and calm down because they're getting what they want with their passion.
Right.
I'm not scared of angry people. I love them because they're so much fun to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous.
Good question. Pulling is brilliant. And making it explicit, I think, extends what we do in Imago very effectively. A lot of people don't like it because it's different, but Sandra and I don't live without it. We frequently will walk down the street, and it'll look like she's talking and I'm interviewing her because all I'm doing is pulling.
Wow, that is fabulous.
All I'm doing is pulling. Pulling looks like, wow, say more about that. Would you tell me more about that? That's cool. And the sender always is in control, but the receiver invites.
And then you mirror her back, right?
If she wants to be mirrored, I'll mirror her to
if
the...
She wants to be mirrored.
You know, if she wants to be mirrored, I'm ready.
Okay.
Any other questions? That's good questions.
Al, this is Amy Sherman from NIAC. How you doing?
Hello, Amy Sherman.
Hi. This is just sort of like a classic question of, you know, when someone says, don't pull that mirroring crap on me. I don't want to be mirrored right now.
Yep. Yep, run into that one.
Yeah.
I tried several different things. One time I mirrored for a whole weekend. I mirrored my son for 2 days solid. And he kept saying he didn't want to be mirrored, and so I mirrored that he didn't want to be mirrored.
Oh, God. And he didn't clock
really
you on?
Exhausted us both, but it was a learning experience.
Yeah.
What I've learned is that people want the effect of mirroring. They don't want the mirroring. This is what that woman said to me yesterday.
Yes.
She said, you're mirroring all the time, aren't you? And I said, yes. And I want to feel heard, but I don't want to have the mirroring interrupt that.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is where you take mirroring as a teaching tool rather than a goal.
Yeah.
And this is where I think people in Imago get stuck sometimes. And mm-hmm. I've actually witnessed a group that almost collapsed because using mirroring, they couldn't get to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They delayed things so much that they never said anything important because they were just mirroring.
Yeah.
Instead of beginning to say, well, my goal is that I really listen to you. I am listening. What is your point? Please get to your point. And I want to make sure I hear that. And it's, by the way, not my point. It's your point.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people say they hate mirroring, I say, of course, I hated it too for years. My suggestion is you mirror enough until you don't feel you need it anymore. But if you're having trouble communicating, for gosh sakes, train yourselves to do better.
So if a couple is fighting and someone's saying, don't pull that mirroring crap on me, whether they're at home or in my office or whether it's in my own marriage, you're suggesting you just mirror. So you don't want to be mirrored, like kind of push it.
Well, you can actually, no, I don't know that I do that. I did that with my son.
That
example. What I do is say, oh, I got it. Because that sound can come across as, you know, I've heard them. Remember, the goal is to make them feel heard, not to mirror.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so tricky.
And that's subtle. You can just say to somebody, oh, I got it.
And maybe they'll relax a little bit more and let you mirror them?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can just come back and say, the only reason, when it's your turn, you can say, the only reason I'm mirroring is so I can keep things stable and calm and we can have predictive information and do better. That's all I'm doing.
Right. Get them to kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So you keep the goal of the mirroring out in front, though you may have to not explicitly, you know, we tell people in Imago, go home and explicitly mirror everything. Well, you got to think about why you're doing that.
Yes.
And to me, as long as people feel, to me, what I think is, as long as people feel that I'm listening to them, I'm doing it.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Okay. Any other question? Those are good. You guys are good. But it's fun to look at this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandra, and I, it's fun for Sandra. I remember one time Sandra said to me, I gave her a message that was about 5 minutes long. She looked at me kind of sweetly, and she said, hon, that's too long. Could you make it shorter? And I went, I growled, and I made it, I couldn't remember it all. But I sent it again. It was about 2 minutes long. And she's at the end of that, she said, hon, I hate to say it, but that's still too long. Could you shorten it up a bit? And I really growled, and I said the phrase, something of the sort of mirroring. Screw this mirroring, just listen. Now, doesn't that sound like the guy you're talking about? Or the woman you're talking about? I said, screw this mirroring. And she said, oh, I didn't know that. I said, what? She said, I didn't know you wanted me just to sit around while you chatter. I thought you wanted to be heard. If you want me just to sit around and chatter, do you mind if I read a book? You know, and that was one of our big teaching moments. You know, because literally, people want to be heard. But they often start with the idea that they want just to chatter and then automatically people will hear. So when you're as a listener and you're trying to mirror, what you're really trying to do is bring them into connection with you. And to come out of the delusion that they are in connection when they're not. And what I do sometimes with people is I exaggerate how slow my brain runs. And I literally mirror them by saying, hold on a second. You're talking too fast for me. Could you just say that again? You know, and what I'm doing is slowing them down and creating structure for communication. And I do that because I've mirrored for 14 years. Is that helpful?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love mirroring. It's a wonderful mm-hmm. tool. Because you can mirror with only half your brain awake sometimes.
So this is Deborah Mulhern from Maryland.
Hello, Maryland.
Hi.
Maryland.
I just have a practical question. I don't know where these notes are that people were talking about.
Mm. Well,
I'm looking on your website, but I don't see them.
On my website, the one that is, if you're looking at the green website, then you need to click on the one that goes to my blog that says, where it says my essays and things like that.
That's where I am.
Okay. Then probably the third paper down says notes for teaching mirroring. And when in doubt, you can just...
Got it.
You got it?
Yep.
That's easy. I'm trying to guide you right in there.
Yeah.
In fact, that there's a lot of that where the couples are trying to guide each other into love with each other. You're just guiding. You know, it's when Sandra said, oh, I thought you wanted to be heard and understood. You just want me to sit around while you chatter? You know, she's guiding me in a direction I want to go. But in order to do that, I have to learn to speak slower. And that's one of the skills, is learning how to condense what you're doing, speak slower, and make it easier for the listener to hear.
Well, I liked what you said. This is Deborah Mulhern again about who's in control, the idea of explicitly helping the sender to take control of the pacing. I love that idea versus the other parts. The receiver is in charge of. The other parts the sender's in charge of. That's very helpful clarification for me.
Yeah, I love the idea that both are in control, but they're in control of different aspects.
It's really an evolution from, you know, when I first learned of this stuff, and it fits what I see in my office.
Good for you. We've got about 2 minutes left, and I was going to teach about the big problems that have to do with master talk and stuff like that. I'm not going to have time for that today, but they're in the notes. and references. There's references to the handout I give them. Be glad to, and there's a reference to the list of benefits, and there's an article on the gentle art of pulling. And some people like what I do, and some people don't like it. This is the way I've learned to do it over the years, and I'm very comfortable and feel, you know, I kind of pat myself on the back for having come up with it, but it's all yours to share, for you to hear. Adapt it as you want. Any final questions? Because we've only got a couple minutes left.
Thank you so much, Al. I must go.
Al.
Thank you, Al.
I have a question.
Sure.
Well, I do not even know what your website is, so could you please give me that?
Sure.
I'm new to the call, so.
Easiest place to get way to get it is www.
Yeah.
Dot turtle counseling, one word.
Okay.
Dot com.
Okay.
When you get there, on the left-hand side, you'll see a link to my papers.
Okay.
And that's the place you want to really go to.
Okay. Got it. Great. Okay. Thank you so much. This is very helpful.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Everybody's welcome. Hope everyone's having a good summer.
Al, this is Julie going out one last time.
Yes, Julie.
I would just really like to appreciate how you are in sharing your wisdom and your papers and your website and all your handouts. I really appreciate that. And it's been a real pleasure being in real time with this conversation rather than listening to it hours later.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you for sharing that. That makes my day a little better today.
Awesome. Agreed.